I've often found that before the biggest breakthroughs come the biggest attacks. If you look at history, that's certainly true. Valley Forge is a great example. You know, you go through the history. The bottom line is that when the devil attacks, it's because your breakthrough is here. Now, it's up to you to push back. We're talking about a little bit more here. The goal is to be more like Jesus. That's our title for today, Be More Like Jesus. You know, Jesus handled a lot of attacks against him. Let's be honest, it was not a walk in the park for him. He had to deal with Sadducees, Pharisees, wouldn't sees and couldn't sees. Some people like that one. And all kinds of challenges and issues as he went through. He had apostles that were in and out of how much they believed him, didn't believe in challenges like that, but he went through. So when a challenge comes, don't say, oh no. Say, oh good, I can handle this. Why? Because Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I have the Holy Spirit inside of me, and he is my teacher and my comforter, will teach me everything we need to know. All right? Praise the Lord. So be more like Jesus. This is Pastor Karen's and mine. We're both going to do this today. Great. Now, the last several weeks, especially last Sunday, we started talking about breaking curses, okay? Why do we break curses? Because curses are something that Satan puts upon us. Now, breaking curses as a holy and cleansed lifestyle is an excellent way to be more like Jesus. Now, get your Bibles out and read some scriptures together. Now, by the way, there's no outline today. And because of the full schedule Pastor Karen and I have, there may be several times in the future where there's just no outline. So you're just going to have to take your own notes. You can go through the recordings if you need to review them or not. We're going to try to talk slow, repeat the scriptures a couple times for you. But it's time for you to start doing a little more of your own to pick up on these things that you need to do. Again, the replay is always on within a few days. Pastor Matthew is actually now making sure it's there. So if you need to double check something, don't go call us up asking for outlines or for notes, because our schedule is too full right now to do that right now. So thank you for understanding and God bless. All right, so breaking curses. Everybody is familiar with something called generational curses. And curses are something that Satan uses to try to pull people back down. So it's called a chain. You know, we break every chain. There's that great song out there called Break Every Chain, okay? These things are designed to pull you back down. Now, if you ever notice, if you ever watch any war movies, when something is damaged in the ship, for example, the first thing they do is they try to repair it so they can get it back into action, right? Satan operates the same way. He's a military commander type. So when that chain comes off of you, he wants to put it back on. Your job is to make sure he doesn't get a chance to put it back on. We're going to go through that summit today, okay? All right, so living a holy, cleansed lifestyle, 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16. Please take note of this, 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16. This is the Amplified Classic. But as the one who called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all your conduct and manner of living. Okay? Jesus is holy. We're called to be holy. As we are holy, Satan cannot attach those chains back onto us. Okay? Hebrews 12:14, Amplified Classic version of Hebrews 12:14 says, strive to live in peace with everybody and pursue that consecration and holiness without which no one will ever see the Lord. I want that to set in for a minute. Pursue that consecration. Now, we've got to consecrate ourselves toward the Lord and pursue that holiness. That way we will see the Lord. This is something we must do. Okay? Romans 6:22. Again, this is the Amplified Classic version. Romans 6:22. But now, since you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, you have your present reward in holiness, and its end is eternal life. Everybody here has eternal life. You've done the sinner's prayer. You believe it. You have eternal life. You've been set free from sin. We do not let Satan put that sin back upon us. Okay? 2 Corinthians 7:1, get an Amplified Classic version. of 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, since these great promises are ours, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates and defiles the body and spirit, and bring our consecration to completeness in the reverential fear of the Lord. Fear is respect of the Lord. We respect Him. And we bring our consecration to completeness. Okay? We must do this. This is not a suggestion. This is what the Lord is telling us to do. It's a continual thing. Now, I want you to think of somebody who's challenged with a very bad infection. And that person goes and he gets that infection cleaned out. Sometimes they got to go back in and clean out 2, 3, 4, 5 times to get down to the residual, the bottom part of that infection. If they don't, that little bit of infection that's left in there will continue to fester and grow and make matters even worse. If you ever know anybody who's had to take a steroid shot for like 10 days for something, okay, and they say, take these for 10 days. After 5 days, they're feeling fine. And they stop taking the shot or the pill or whatever it is. What happens? The bacteria that's left is the strongest, most potent, and it comes back with a vengeance. Then it's even harder to get rid of. So the bottom line is, we're going to cleanse this out. We're going to get it out. We're going to keep it cleansed so it doesn't have a chance to come back. Okay? Next verse. Are you ready? James 1:22. So let's read James 1:22 in the Amplified Version. But prove yourselves doers of the word, actively and continually obeying God's precepts. Not merely listeners who hear the word but fail to internalize its meaning. I'm impressed upon that. Internalize its meaning. A lot of people can read the Bible. But if they don't get it inside of them, it's not going to do good. Okay? Deluding yourselves by unsound reasoning contrary to the truth. The Bible is the truth. What it says in there stands. If you try to justify anything that's outside that Bible, it's contrary to the truth. Go back to the Bible, confirm it with the truth. For if anyone who listens to the word without obeying it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his natural face in the mirror. Once he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately forgets what he looked like. Okay. The word is meant to be internalized. It's not superficial. It's a truth. It's a living word of God. The more you put that living word of God inside of you, the easier it is for you to defend yourself against the enemy. What did Jesus use when Satan came against him? He didn't use supernatural powers. He used the word of God. Right? Man does not live by bread alone. He used the word of God to stop Satan every step of the way. You have the same ability to use the word of God to stop the enemy coming against you every single step of the way. Okay? Great. All right, now we're going to do a message version of James 1:22-24. It says, don't fool yourself. Don't fool you. People out there are tricking themselves all the time into thinking that you are a listener when you're anything but. Letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are or what they look like. All right. We must be true to ourselves. We cannot fool ourselves. True to the word. Okay? There are people all the time that will have on messages 24/7. And they think they're doing a great job. But they don't pay attention to the word. They don't internalize it. They don't meditate on it. They don't process the word. And they don't act on the word. They got some real problems coming when the end times come. What we're teaching you today, and through here at ABC continuously, is how to prepare for the challenging end times that are coming. If you're not ready, you're going to have challenges. Now, what I'm telling you is going to happen. Those who are ready are going to have victories. Those who have victories are going to people notice those victories, and they're going to pull more people into the kingdom of God. And your friends and loved ones that you're so concerned about are going to come back to Jesus because you're going to be an example. And those people, you can't really preach to them. They know you too well. They know your mistakes of the past. But when they see your victories, they will pay attention. Okay? Pastor Karen?
Well, we need to be more like Jesus. We need to overcome in every single area of our lives. And I'd like you to get a piece of paper and a pen or use your phone. And I want you to write down, what areas do you still need to see the manifestation of overcoming? I know you've prayed about it, you're standing on the word, you're standing in faith, but you haven't received the completion of that answered prayer. Let's write that down. Okay, so these are areas that you want to focus on overcoming, because you don't have to focus on the areas that you're good at. Say you're really good at getting up and praying every single morning before you get started for your day. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Say you're really good at any time that you sin, you try to identify it, you try to recognize it, and then you CRB as soon as you can. But you're still having some challenges in receiving some of the things that you need, and you're waiting patiently for those things to come to you in the earthly realm. All right, so you know, we're talking about strategies of being a doer of the word, and ABC has been talking to you about many strategies that really are successful and have helped you know Apostle Joshua, Pastor Sarah, Pastor Matthew, Pastor James, and I, and the staff, and many other ABCers. And so implementing some of those things, you have to see, are you doing them? Are you not doing them? You heard it, but you haven't quite incorporated it yet, or it's not a lifestyle. We're going to encourage you to start looking at things and saying, well, maybe I should try something. Maybe I should do something more, because what I'm doing is not getting the results that I need, and doing the same thing over and over, not getting better results, is what? The definition of insanity, and we don't want to do insane things, right? And so we want to be an overcomer, and we want to use a daily map, an MAP, spirit-led map, because it will guide us to what we need to do. God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. How do we get to where we need to go to overcome those humps, those hindrances, those boulders? You know, one good way is using your MAP, my action plan, and you are going to consecrate your time. You're going to consecrate your schedule. You're going to consecrate yourself, your goals, your thoughts, your dreams, and your normal habits to God. And you're going to say, Lord, help me change. Help me be more of a doer. I know a lot of you ABCers are doing everything that you can, but what is it that we could do to improve so that we can accelerate receiving what we need? How can we become more holy and being more like Jesus? You know, oftentimes I love, you know, that phrase, WWJD. I think about that often, really. If I am having a challenging, rough day, I'm having a struggle, and I will say, okay, what would Jesus do? And then I ask him, Jesus, what would you do in this instance? And I often reflect back that the Word of God says he did nothing except for what his Heavenly Father tells him to do. He didn't start until the Heavenly Father told him to start. Now, God might tell you, you can serve in this place, But did you ask him the what to do, when to do it, how long to do it, what date to do it, and should you have other things done prior to doing that, or making sure other things are done after you do that? The question is, are you consulting with the Holy Spirit to map out your steps? 1, 2, 3. Are you just getting the general answer but not the specifics? And most mistakes are made, or most challenges come, when people have not completely consulted the Holy Spirit. You just got a portion of it. I want you to look back at every challenge you've had. I don't care what lesson you learned from it. We should learn lessons from our mistakes. That's normal. How could you have avoided that mistake? How could you have avoided that challenge so it would have never occurred? God does not like to teach people through hard lessons that way. He prefers wisdom. He prefers that you avoid challenges and not have to go through that in order to learn. So write down all the challenges that you've had that were really big ones. Don't justify it. Because if you do, you're not being coachable. You're deceiving yourself. You're tricking yourself, just like we just read in the scriptures. And we need to be open and vulnerable and say, Holy Spirit, show me where I blew it. Maybe you told me what to do, but did I do it in the right prioritization? Did I do it in the right day, the right timing? Did I spend too long of a time there? Did I neglect to do other things, and so therefore I didn't get those things done on time because I spent too much time over here? Maybe God wanted you to do both. However, we need to consult with God to be that lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, mapping out every second of the day what we should or should not be doing. And just because God gave you a go-ahead to do something, don't assume he still wants you to do it. There's a lot of people who, it says that the highway to hell is full of people who assumed. Well, a lot of Christians also have challenges because they assumed. Things change. God has seasons for everything, and then he wants us to move on to something else, or he wants us to divide our time more or have more balance. Whatever it is, we need to double check. And if you're afraid of double checking, it's because you don't want to change. If you say, I don't need to check, that's pride. If you say, I am totally obedient and you never recheck, I don't think that's wisdom. Because our world is changing. The devil also steps up his game. And, you know, what if, I use this example a lot, what if Joseph, when he got his dreams, and it helped him to understand that he still had to marry Mary, and that he had to be the earthly father of Jesus, but he realized that Jesus is the God incarnate, and he is God with us, Emmanuel. But what if he ignored those dreams? And so what if he delayed? What if he didn't do it God's way? He got that dream, you know, get up, take Mary and the baby to Egypt. Okay, I'll do that next week. That wouldn't have been very good. The story would have been a whole different story,
yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, as you know, if he didn't leave immediately, then he would have had a big challenge trying to get away from the soldiers who were killing all the babies under 2 years old. This way he could escape. This way he could get all his stuff packed up and together. And I'm sure God showed him which, you know, caravan to take and all that stuff. He didn't assume that he could just do it whenever he wanted. When he heard get up, it meant now. Okay, so we need to learn to be quick to obey. And people who are quick to obey, are really doing a good job. However, they may be too quick and not ask, oh, how long do you want me there? Which way do you want me to go? I mean, there are other areas that we need to find out of those facets about being a doer of the Word of God. You have to find out from the Holy Spirit. Let Him map out your steps. Let Him show you daily what you need to do. And if you're not consulting with Him daily and frequently throughout the day and writing it down, there's no accountability. Because you know what? Sometimes I know I'm supposed to drink my water because I don't want to be dehydrated. And a nutritionist said to us, calculate your weight in pounds, divide it in half, and that is the amount of ounces of water that you should be drinking per day. And when you wake up in the morning, you drink a lot of your water. We were shocked at what he said, 30 ounces of water. We went, what? Okay, but he said it'll wake your brain up because your brain is mostly water. And if we are drinking water during the day, one time I was very, very challenged to be tired. I just felt like my get up and go had gotten up and gone. And I just needed to sit down. It was a very hot day. I was sweating and sweating and sweating. And I was like, oh, man, I need to, you know, get in a cool place and get from outside because I was, doing a lot of errands outside and doing a lot of walking. And then the Lord said to me, you forgot to drink your water. Oh, I drank a lot of water, Lord. I'm talking to God in my mind. He said, how many? I said, let me check. And so I looked at my, I keep everything in my calendar on my phone. And I had only drank like one cup of water. And then I drank another one afterwards. And then I thought, oh, drinking two, I'm drinking a lot, you know. And then I'm looking at the ounces of how much was in each of those each glass, and it wasn't very many ounces. It was like maybe 8 ounces each, and then but two in my mind thought like, oh, that seems like a lot. But I had an accountability to show myself that I had to catch up, and if I didn't look at that, it would seem like I was pretty much on target if I have to have 4.5 bottles a day. But then I forgot that those bottles I drink are 23.7 ounces of water each times 4.5. I was way away from my goal. So see, we can trick ourselves sometimes when we're challenged to be tired. So writing it down makes us have an accountability. So think about doing your MAP. Your MAP is my action plan. Write down everything God wants you to do. People have that on their matrix. You can put my matrix action plan, matrix action plan. You can call it faith action plan. Some people call it their business or victory building action plan or an overcomer action plan. But your action plan has to be written. Yes, it needs to have some, 2 to 4 dimensions. It has to be quantifiable with repetitions as you're doing your affirmations. How many affirmations have you done? If you don't know how many you've done, how many is working for you, you don't know how much more you need to go. So it's really important to make sure you have things written down and use that map to guide your life of a spirit-led MAP. Reminder that Hebrews 9:15, let's look in the New King James Version. We're going to go to Hebrews 9, verse 15. Read in your Bibles with me. And for this reason, He, Jesus, is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Everything in our Bible shows us how we could be successful. And if you've consecrated your day and your schedule to be holy between you and God as your commitment, that is your covenant with God to follow the Holy Spirit as Jesus and His blood cut that covenant for us so that we can receive His eternal inheritance. Now in 1 Timothy 1 verse 5, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. says that the end result of our teaching is love from a pure heart. Wow. Purify our hearts, Lord, with the washing of the Word of God. Purify and renew our minds right now in Jesus' name to receive what you want us to have so that we could be more like Jesus. Purify our hearts, Lord God. Give us a clean conscience and a sincere faith, like it says in 1 Timothy 1:5. Thank you, Lord, that as we are so sincere because we love you and we believe in you, we thank you, Lord God, for helping us to go through these the preparation for cleansing, breaking curses, identifying them, so that we could see areas in our life that are still hindering us so that we can avoid all these big challenges. The more we live out the righteousness to which we have been called is the more God's blessings and power we will have in our lives. The lifestyle of confessing your sins, doing your CRB, and it's even more important to do more USPs, the unknown sins prayer, learning, you know, those of you that haven't learned yet to cast out demons, those that are preparing that haven't gone through healing school, we will help you learn to establish a kingdom of God in your life so well until you get to the point that you can cast out demons. We want you to learn to live a lifestyle in the kingdom of God, regularly breaking curses, so it leads us into a life of glory and being with Jesus and being more like Jesus.
Praise God. All right, so we're removing curses from your life. Now, we talked about curses a little bit here. We're going to come back to this now for you. And just understand that everybody is challenged in this area. There's no shame in this in any way, shape, or form. Why? Our enemy is Satan. He hates us, period. He'll do anything he can do. He's treacherous. He's deceitful. He's slimy, disgusting, and he doesn't play fair. So accept the fact that this enemy is coming against you. And accept the fact that you're going to learn now how to defend yourself against this enemy.
In a much more effective way.
Yes, yeah. A much more effective way, right. So we know that by confessing our sins, we restore our fellowship with God. As we can clearly see, restoring our broken fellowship with God is only one of four components. The devil doesn't mind if we temporarily restore our fellowship with God, as long as he still has his hooks into us. Now, I want you to think of this. You ever seen a cat and a mouse? A cat will play with that mouse. He'll let him think he's going to get away and then stop him. He doesn't mind if the mouse thinks he's going to get away because he knows he has total control. Okay? The bottom line is Satan's playing with people. We have to get our control back so we can really break through this. Okay? Now, it's temporary because with his hooks established, the devil can easily jerk on the strings and get us to sin, provoking us to anger, getting us again to break fellowship with God. In order to avoid or minimize these occurrences, the other three components must also be addressed. We're going to deal with the other three components by repenting, renouncing, and breaking. We repent of our sins by inwardly turning our backs on the sins. We renounce Satan and all his demons and evil spirits behind these sins. We also break any demonic holds or agreements which may have been connected to our lives or bodies as a result of sin.
And our thought life.
That's true.
So, you know, we will constantly quote James 4:7. As you know, James 4, verse 7 says, "Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." You know, we all know that the iniquity of the fathers are down to the third and fourth generation, that the sins can be passed on. It'll say that in Exodus 34, verse 7. You know, like, did you know who your grandfather was? Did you know who your great-grandparents were, or great-great-great-grandparents? Did you know who were their parents and their parents? I didn't. My grandfather died before I was born on my father's side, and I didn't get to know him. And you didn't know, I didn't know what kind of lifestyle he had, and you don't know the lifestyles of the people, the ancestors that you didn't know. And so you don't know what kind of sins could have been passed down. So we want to break all those generational curses like Pastor James was talking about. and any demonic strongholds. And that's why we tell you on Wednesday nights in our workshops, break curses over any area, even if you haven't seen them in your own life, because it could have been in your ancestors' lives, and you want to break that over yourselves and your descendants to come. So remember I said get a paper and pen out or use your phone and write down areas that you still have challenges with and haven't overcome and haven't seen the manifestation of your prayers yet in those areas. So look at those areas, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit, in what areas are we not submitted to you, God, or to your word, so we're not able to resist the devil, and the devil's not fleeing from us, and it is hindering our answered prayer to come to us? In what areas of our lives is the devil not fleeing? Do you have pain? Do you have symptoms of sickness? Do you have lack in any area of your life? You can justify any of these things, but that's not going to work. Let's not deceive ourselves. Let's just humble ourselves, put down the pride, and let the rubber meet the road, and let's say, Lord, show me where I need to clean up. Where do I need to get cleansed? Because, you know, people say, oh, well, I'm just going to say I'm challenged, and so I really don't have sickness. Well, then why did you come to us and ask us for a prayer for healing? You don't need prayer for healing if you don't have something to be healed. You don't need to have prayer for answers if you have everything you need. Let's admit it. Where are we lacking that we do not have what we've been believing for in our lives? And let's really get down to the nitty-gritty to make your list. It's between you and God. No one else is going to see it. What areas are you not seeing results in? Then you need to take that list this week and all the curses we've already broken. You need to say, Holy Spirit, help me to identify the sins that caused these. What was the open door that allowed these occurrences to happen? Because I did not avoid a problem. I had a problem. Admit it. Don't say, well, the result was great because I found out that blah, 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 and I would have never found out if that didn't happen. That wasn't God's perfect will. That was the devil attacking you, and you need to realize that there are areas that we fail in. And we have to say, Lord, where is that coming from? What sin am I doing that caused that? Let's be very open and honest. If you really want to get cleansed, if you really want to be more like Jesus, we can't let these things cloud our perspective. We have to be introspective and look deep and not be afraid to look so that God can clean it all out and God can finally help us overcome those big challenges. You ever hear people say, why is my life so difficult? Why do I have so many challenges? Well, let's see where we're not submitted to God. Let's see what sin that is. Let us learn to identify it, focus so it doesn't come back once we confess. Help me, Holy Spirit, to turn my life around so I'm living my MAP, my map, my action plan. What is the action that I need to do to change that I'm not going to do those same things over and over again, so I could follow Jesus and be more like him and be set free in those areas?
Okay, breaking curses help you stop repeating sins. Breaking curses is like cutting a chain off. It's much harder for Satan to come back at you once you've broken the curse. Don't procrastinate. When you're aware that of a sin, you've not broken curses connected to that sin, do it as soon as you can. Write it down. Put it in a phone somewhere. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten a word somewhere or something, and we're going to do it later, and then because I didn't write it down 3 hours, I can't remember what it was. Okay? I got to go back, spend time praying with the Holy Spirit to reveal it to me or something. Write it down. You know, if you're in the middle of work day and something comes to your mind, write it down. That night, take care of it as soon as you can. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Okay, the example of the sin of not drinking my water. You know, it's on my list of things to do or matrix. Drink X amount of ounces of water per day. that equals to me my 4.5 bottles. But I have to check mark when I do it. And you don't want all of them to be had at the same time because your stomach's not going to hold all that. And you have to balance it out during the day, first thing in the mornings because you want your brain to wake up, during the day so that your body gets the fluid it needs to keep operating on a regular basis. And then I check mark when I get my all mine done before I go to sleep. And don't drink water an hour to 2 hours before you go to sleep if you want to have an uninterrupted sleep. Just wisdom. Just, you know, it's a freebie. Free word of wisdom there. But your action plan needs to be not just, this is what I should do. You have to look at your matrix and say, this is when I did it. Or divide it up on the time schedules, you know, breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, dinner, and eat dinner early, like 2 hours before you eat, and I'm going to drink my water during that time. What is your plan so that you're not going to dehydrate yourself anymore? How are you going to fix it? And make sure you check mark it. And then if I forget, it's because usually I don't have my notification alarm on for my snack to have an alarm to say, beep, beep, look, drink water. Oh, man, I'm so glad I had that notification because I was right in the middle of doing something. And sometimes I do not like to be interrupted, but I better interrupt myself because if I want to have more brain power to finish what I'm doing properly, I need water in my brain and my body is mostly water, so I need to hydrate. So what is your map, my action plan?
Action plan, exactly. Okay. Now, if you're caught in a challenge, ask God what the root is so you can identify the sin so you can break curses that keep you that sin. Also, have a spouse or a friend work with you on this. Here's an example. As you know, I love my father. He's a great man. Glad he's in heaven now. But the other day, I had a challenge, and Karen says, you know, your father did that same thing. Then I had to break a generational curse on it. Mm-hmm. It was so comfortable to me, I didn't realize it. But she saw it. And I had to listen and not be proud. And humble myself, okay, let's break generational curses on this right now. And we did. Praise the Lord. So it's a teamwork. It's an ongoing thing. It's like showering every day and wash your hands throughout the day. It's an ongoing thing. But every time you do that, you get a step closer and better and so forth, okay?
Part of your map is if you don't have a prayer partner, someone that's equally yoked with your belief system, you need to pray and ask God for one because it's hard to see some things that we need to change, but it's easier for someone else to observe, and we need to give that person permission to speak into our lives, and that other prayer partner needs to give me permission to speak into his life, like we've done that for mm-hmm. each other, so that we could say, oh, by the way, did you notice you're being attacked in this area? And I think it might be generational because your dad did that too. Oh, wow. Yeah. Thanks for telling me. You know, when you're in the forest, it's hard to know where's the exit if there is no path. But someone in a helicopter above you can say with a bullhorn, hey, go to the right. No, go to the left. Right? They're not bossing you around. They're helping you. So it might be a good idea to pray and ask God to give you a good prayer partner. Okay?
Okay, breaking curses is like being stuck to a spider web. Break the connection to that web. The spider cannot hold you on that web any longer. Okay? Just because you break a curse doesn't mean the demons, devils, evil spirits won't return. Hello? Satan's not going to stop. He's not going to stop until he's done. And Jesus is finally taking care of him at the end of the end times, okay? But the bottom line is Satan is going to do what he's going to do. And his demons, those spirits, have no reason not to continue attacking you, okay? All right. But you have a reason to keep yourself prepared for that attack. When you have broken the chain that kept you in bondage, you have the legal right to evict them and get rid of them, okay? Many people mistakenly think once you break a curse, that sin will not happen again. They think they'll never be tempted to do that sin again. Think of an alcoholic. He goes to Alcoholics Anonymous. He's broken the curse on it, right? Exactly. And he walks down the alcohol aisle and the thing and picks up a bottle. He's attacked again. He may put that bottle back down, but the attack is still there. The thought is still there. The process is still there, okay? He has to stay as far away from that as he can. He has to keep himself away. Satan will always try to trip them up in some way, somehow, okay? It's how it works. That's just how things work. You have to do your prayers to confess sins. You repent by turning away and not do that sin again. and grow in the fruit of the Spirit to learn to resist the devil, submitting to God, His Word, so the devil will flee from you. If the devil's not fleeing, there are areas in your life that you're not submitted to God in. This is no shame. This is about saying, hey, how can I improve? Okay? I don't care if you're the best AAA baseball player out there, you're looking to make it to the majors. I don't care what you're trying to do, if you can always improve upon it. Okay? The best batters, Michael Jordan. I'm a big Michael Jordan fan. Every day, you know, he won countless games, and so, I guess you can't count them, but he won so many games, so many great shots, and so forth. He was always working to be better. This is what we're going to do. Always keep working to be better. Why? Because the enemy's going to keep working to be better against you. You must always keep improving.
Yeah, and when people make one big mistake, and it's challenged to be deadly, it only took one mistake. So let's learn to avoid mistakes.
Okay. All right, breaking curses is like breaking a contract with the devil that was binding that person to allow the devil to enter and stay in their life. As the curse is broken, there's no more legal right to the devil. However, the DDEs might still remain as occupants in that territory as squatters. Okay. Now, breaking curses is the start of your spiritual warfare. It's not the completion. Don't fold and relax after you've broken the curse. There's nothing else to do. You have to be ready to go to battle to vanquish, cast out, and get rid of that enemy. You can only remove them from the premises after curses have been broken because you broke the chain that tied them to you. The demons, devils, evil spirits will want to come back where they're comfortable. When the devil tries to return over and over, you need to recognize them sneaking back in and kick them back out and stop them from returning by, okay, how do you do that? Doing your prayers frequently every day. Maintaining yourself inside the kingdom of God, and by CRBing and reestablishing the kingdom of God.
That is your protection. You know, soon those DDEs, the demons, devils, and evil spirits, will get tired of bugging you, and they want to go bug someone else. Just like Star Trek, it has an invisible force shield when it's being attacked by the enemy, and those fiery darts that try to attack you will not be able to succeed if you maintain yourself in the kingdom of God. It will vanquish those fiery darts. It'll quench them and put them out. When you focus and vigilantly look to identify what was a sin, what kind of sin, how many other sins were connected to it, what chains were connected to that. And then if you stay in the kingdom of God, sin-free, doing your USPs, unknown sins prayers, or confessing your sins as soon as you can, that keeps your protective shield from being breached, and it keeps it maintained strong, and the enemy will not be able to infiltrate. When your protective shield is down, that's when bad things happen. Find out what caused it. Sin causes it to be unprotected.
I use a martial arts analogy here. The first thing you learn in martial arts is how to block. Why? Because if they keep throwing punches at you and they can't hit you, they will get tired. And that gives you an opportunity to defend yourself. You block those attacks from the enemy, those demon, devil, spirits are going to get tired of coming after you. Okay, go ahead.
Amen. Demons are like pesky flies that when you shoo them away, want to try to come back. Keep shooing them away. Remember when you shoo away a terrible, yucky fly, and that's the worst thing that could happen is a fly pitch on your food. What's worse than that? Seven of his worst friends coming back. There'll be eight of them, so we just call them worsers. We don't want those worsers back. Just keep confessing your sins and doing your unaware sins and establishing the kingdom of God around you and asking the Lord when there's a problem, what was the sin or sins, because it's usually in a chain connected to each other, that maybe affected you, okay? So don't forget, on Wednesday nights, we have those workshops so that you can actually do these things with us. We'll teach you how to recognize and identify sins better. We will actually break the curses on them that night. And any sins that you have that are new, you could break curses on them as well. Again, that on Wednesday nights, if you don't do that, you know, on your own, but you're welcome to use that. You should be using that daily to do that on your own. And we want you to work on all the sins that we had broken curses on. Be vigilant to focus to make sure that you don't repeat those sins and that those temptations don't come back. And then get ready for your next assignment for next week as well. So you're doing two things, being vigilant on the curses you broke and breaking curses. You're going to be making a new list for what we're going to be doing next Wednesday.
All right, so my testimony is before coming to ABC, I had a lot of challenges with my weight. Most of you noticed that, okay? I tried weight loss plans, workout plans, things to help you out. Nothing really worked for me, but as an ordained minister for 12 years, prior to coming to ABC, I came to ABC as a student.
Well, more than 12 years now.
Well, yeah, but okay. I was humbled, and I got to ABC, I gained even more weight, okay? And I hear all the excuses, all the things, but it doesn't matter. Developing new habits, breaking curses in my lifestyle has been effective in getting me set free of the sin of overeating and the sins connected to that. I'm finally losing weight in inches and being healthier, which resulted in receiving healing of years of challenge with my back and left knee. Now, there's a good and a bad part about this. The good part is we're finally getting in shape, losing weight, more energy, more stamina, and so forth. The bad part is that I had clothes that was too small for me and now are too big for me, so I've got to go replace a wardrobe. So, praise God.
Yeah, that's a good problem.
Some clothes I never got to wear. Just blew right through them. You know, okay, well, I'll bless somebody with them, you know. All right. ICRB broke deeper levels of curses and demonic strongholds. I kept establishing the kingdom of God and cast the DDEs out frequently. I'm off 40 pounds and 12 inches off my waist. Praise God. In fact, this belt I never could wear. If I put on it, it's on the last notch. So when I lose another inch, it won't be able to wear it anymore either. So, okay. Now, every time, not sometimes, every time, the Holy Spirit reveals to me another sin that I'm unaware of, I see RRB. I confess, repent, renounce, and break off that. I break the curse. I do constant, continual spiritual warfare to keep the demons, devils, and evil spirits out. When I get another breakthrough, I can wear clothes I haven't worn for years. Praise God. Stop changing things. Okay. You know, I always have plans to wear some clothes again, but if I don't get a chance to wear them, that's fine. It's okay. I have stamina. I have energy. I'm more sharp-minded. And I'm feeling better. And I've heard by this time next year or sooner, I'll be at my goal weight. Hope you all can agree with me that in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Now, are you doing your homework assignment from last week to identify sins more diligently? Go ahead and take them out. Let's do this now. Everybody ready? So, let's pray to confess any sins or deal with any unaware sins before we receive Holy Communion.
Okay, so as we're getting ready for communion, you're looking at your list right now, and you're going to be getting ready for Wednesday night for when you could break curses over the next set and be vigilant on what curses that you just broke. Look at the bottom of the footer of last week's outline, and you could see the dates and what we were doing. We kicked it off last Sunday. We broke curses on fear. Last Wednesday it was shame and fear of offense and unforgiveness. So look at all those areas and make sure that you catch yourself if you have any of those sins and CRB immediately. Keep doing your unknown sins prayer to keep yourself sin-free and continue to reestablish a kingdom of God on a regular basis. So your homework is look at sins that you had just broken and be vigilant to make sure you're not going to do those sins again. Catch yourself before you do it. And if you do it, don't beat yourself up. If you get into offense or unforgiveness again or fear, don't be hard on yourself. Give yourself grace. Be prompt to forgive yourself. And then look at the next list that you're making. You're going to be making, so you're doing two things at once. Next Wednesday, we're going to break curses on shame and fear of rejection and self-rejection. Some months ago, we worked on offense and unforgiveness, rejection and self-rejection. So we're going to go to the next layer of the onion, a deeper layer of shame and fear of rejection and self-rejection. So write down any areas the Holy Spirit showing you that you need to break curses on this Wednesday. If you have a time conflict, it will be posted on our ABC video library on abcchurchondemand.org, and then you can listen to it and do the prayers with us. So you get ready for that meantime that you are still working on being vigilant on the ones that you broke.
Praise
Amen.
Lord. Exactly.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to, are you going to go right into communion then, Pastor
James?
Yes,
we will, dear. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so if you know of any sins, please confess them now. If you're not aware of any sins, please repeat this unaware sins prayer after me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
I am not aware of any sins.
I am not aware of any sins.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I thank you for cleansing me.
I thank you for cleansing me.
Of all unrighteousness.
Of all unrighteousness.
According to 1 John 1, 9.
According to 1 John 1, 9.
Okay. Okay, 1 Corinthians 11:24 says, when Jesus had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. If you don't have the elements, just do it by faith. Please repeat after me. As I partake of the Lord's Supper,
as I partake of the Lord's Supper,
I thank you, Heavenly Father.
I thank you, Heavenly Father,
for your plan.
For your plan.
That redeemed me.
That redeemed me.
So I can be with you forever.
So I can be with you forever.
Jesus himself.
Jesus himself.
Bore my sins.
Bore my sins.
In his own body on the tree.
In his own body on the tree.
That I. Having died to sins.
Having died to sins.
Might live for righteousness.
Might live for righteousness.
By whose stripes.
By whose stripes.
I have been healed.
I have been healed.
And I receive.
And I receive.
Healing for every part of my body.
Healing for every part of my body.
Let's partake and eat the body in remembrance of Jesus now.
We agree and receive in Jesus' name. First Corinthians 11:25-26 says, in the same manner, Jesus also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Can you please repeat this prayer with me? I partake of the blood of Jesus.
I partake of the blood of Jesus.
That was payment for my redemption.
That was payment for my redemption.
Thank you for redeeming me.
Thank you for redeeming me.
With your shed blood.
With your shed blood.
That made a way.
That made a way.
For me to be a part.
For me to be a part.
Of the Heavenly Father's family.
Of the Heavenly Father's family.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's drink this cup in remembrance of Jesus now.
All right, let's do our 20 affirmations. We've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Everybody ready?
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
One more.
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.